To be here this morning, you just make yourself at home, preach a little bit this morning. I want to preach a message on the most important thing in all your life this morning. I'm going to preach a message this morning, without a doubt, the most important event in all your life. It's more important than your marriage. It's more important than your relationship, your job, even your family. And no matter who you are, no matter what you go through life, no matter how successful you might be or how unsuccessful you might be, I want to preach about the most important event in your life. No matter who you are, whether you're the richest man in the world like Bezos with $140 billion in the bank, or whether you got two nickels in your pocket, they all have the same event. Whether you're the President of the United States like President Trump, or whether you're a prisoner on death row, I want to say this morning, I want to preach on the most important event in all their lives. And it's an event, to be honest with you, we all kind of deny it. We all kind of disguise it. We all kind of delay it. We all want to kind of ignore it. But the thing is, we know that it's coming this morning. And it's that little thing called death. Take your Bible, turn to Hebrews chapter 9. Hebrews chapter 9. Hebrews chapter 9 verse 27 says this, and you ought to know it from me. You're a Christian, been saved a while. Hebrews 9, 27. It says this, and it's appointed unto man once to die, but after this the judgment. You've got an appointment with God, and everybody here, if Jesus Christ doesn't come back and rapture us out of this thing, I want to say that everybody here this morning, you have an appointment with death, and there's going to come a day that you'll take the last breath in this world. Ecclesiastes chapter 7 says this. It says the day of a person's death is greater than their day of birth. The most important event, the most important time in your whole life, bar none, will be the second you take that last breath in your life. And we ignore it, we delay it, we deny it, we disguise it, we do everything we can to get away from it, but we know it's coming. It's coming. And the Bible has a lot to say about death. It's a major theme of the Bible, which it should be. For instance, the word dead occurs 372 times in the Word of God. The word death occurs 376. The word die occurs 321 times. The word died occurs 201 times. In fact, the first warning, the very first warning God gives man is in the Garden of Eden. In Genesis chapter 2:17. And he tells man, he said, but not three of the knowledge of good and evil, thou shalt not eat of it. For the day that you eat thereof, you shall surely die. That's the first warning God gives man. If you eat this fruit, thou shalt surely die. And the first lie that the serpent, Satan, never told mankind was found in Genesis chapter 3:4. And Eve said that God said that we shall not eat it, neither shall we touch it, lest we die. And the serpent said, ye shall not surely die. You see, this thing is all about death. We preachers, you know what we do up here, me and Brother Chris, when we preach and try to get your attention, our message is we're trying to get the reality of death real to you, because that'll be the most important event in all your life. And I'm going to give you a few things about it from the Bible. We need to know what the Word of God says. Let me just say, there's a declaration of death. We saw in Hebrews 9:27, it's appointed unto man once to die. The word declare means to be clear. It means to say something loud and solemnly and be clear about it. And I want to say one thing, death is sure. There's a declaration of death. Ben Franklin made a famous statement he wrote in a letter years ago about the Constitution. And he said, we can't really know how good this Constitution is going to be. He said, the only thing that's certain in this world is death and taxes. Well, you can get away paying your taxes. A lot of these guys do. But I want to tell you, there's one thing that you will not get away from in this world, and that's going to be your death. It's coming. And it's coming sooner than you've ever dreamed. There's the declaration of death. Chapter 30, verse 23. Job says, I know that thou wilt bring me to death in the house appointed for all living. When Joshua in Joshua 23 got ready to die, he said to him, he said, this day I'm going the way of all the earth. When David got ready to die in 2 Kings 2:1, he said, I go the way of all the earth. Let me tell you, friend, there'll come a time in your life, the most important event, and it'll be the day that you take that last breath on this earth. There's the declaration of death. I saw this week on the internet, they developed a blood test that supposedly can tell you closely within a few years of how long you're going to live. And an article saying, most people were saying, I don't want to know that. Why not? You know it's coming. It's coming. People try to deny it, and know it. But I got news for you. Look around our building, this little church tonight. This time last year, there were people sitting here, people sitting there, people sitting there. And this time next year, you know what? There'll be people missing here. Death is coming. There's a declaration of death. David said in 1 Samuel chapter 20, he said, there's but a step between me and death. You're one heartbeat away from death. You're one breath away from death. Death is coming. There's the declaration of death. There's the definition of death. The world says about death, they say it's a cease to exist. That's the end. It's a final. But the Bible doesn't say that. The Bible in Webster's 1828 dictionary, which is taken from the Bible, says this about death, the state of being, animal or vegetable, but when a body quits of functioning, the total permanent cessation of the vital function. There's a physical death. And it also gives the definition of separation and alienation from the soul of God. See, there's two deaths down in the Bible. There's this physical death that you and I, every one of us, if the Lord tarries, every one of us, it will experience the physical death of this body. Every one of us. But then there's a spiritual death found in the book of Revelation. Take your Bible, turn to Revelation real quick. Revelation chapter 20. Revelation chapter 20, there's two deaths in the Bible. Death is not the final destination. In fact, death is not an ending. Death is the beginning of eternity. You see this body right here? You are looking at a man that is dying. I'm dying. I'm one week closer to death, Miss Rachel, this week than I was last Sunday. There's but a step between me and death. Every day we live is one step closer to that day of death. And it's coming. And there's two deaths. There's a physical death, but there's a spiritual death. And that's that separation from God. And look at Revelation chapter 20, verse 6. It said, blessed and holy is he that hath part in the first resurrection. On such the second death hath no power. Look at Revelation chapter 21, verse 8. Revelation 21, 8. But the fearful, the unbelieving, the abominable, the murderers, the whoremongers, the sorcerers, the idolaters, all liars, shall have their part in the lake of fire, which burneth with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. There's a definition of death from the Scripture. There's a physical death that we're all going to take. Every one of us will go through that physical death. If you're saved this morning and you know Jesus Christ and you've truly been born again, you won't go through the second death. There's a definition of death from the Scriptures. And there's the details of death. And I want to give you this morning. I want to tell you what's going to happen to you from the Scriptures when you die. And you need to know this. I mean, sometimes, you know, we don't want to hear things like this. Sarah Lee, she's funny. If I say something she don't want to hear, you know what she'll do? She'll cover her ears. If I'm talking to her, she'll say something. She'll say, Dad, I don't want to hear that. That's the way we do it. Preacher, I don't want to hear that. You need to hear this. You need to hear what the Scripture says. This is the Word of God. Because I got news for you. You are going to experience what the Bible calls death. Take your Bible, turn to 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. And I'm going to give you some scriptures this morning, maybe a little more than normal. I want you to listen, look to them. If you don't have a Bible, we got some up here. If anybody needs a Bible, anybody need a Bible? But I want you to look at them and go with me. I'll give you time. Try to. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 and Genesis chapter 2. I'm going to give you some things you probably never heard before from the Scriptures. And this is what's going to happen to you when you die. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 says this, verse 23. 1 Thessalonians 5:23 says this about a man. A man is a trinity. When God said in Genesis chapter 1, verse 26, He said, "Let us make man in our image." He said, "Us in our image." God's a trinity. There's God the Father is a soul. God the Son, the body. And God the Spirit, the spirit. God has a body, a soul, and a spirit. You and I have a body, a soul, and a spirit. Look at 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 23. Says this. "And the very God of peace sanctify you wholly, and I pray God your whole spirit and soul and body be preserved blameless to the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ." You have a body, you have a soul, and you have a spirit. Look at Genesis chapter 2. Genesis chapter 2, this is where God made man. I believe it just like it said, like I mentioned in Sunday school. I believe the Bible exactly like it says. And Genesis chapter 2, verse 7 says this. And it said, "And the Lord God formed man of the dust of the ground." That's the body. "This body was formed of the dust of the ground, and it breathed in his nostrils the breath of life." That's the spirit. "And man became a living soul." And there's the Trinity. There's the body. This body was made from the dust of the ground. The name Adam means red. It means dirt. It means a Hebrew word. Actually means earth. 1 Corinthians 15:47 says, "The first man is of the earth, earthly." God reached down and He formed man out of the dust of the ground and breathed him the breath of life, and man became a living soul. And I believe it just like that. And that dirt and that dust is this body. That spirit of life that God breathed in him, that's the spirit. And when that body got together and God breathed into the spirit of life, it said man became a living soul. And I believe it just like it says. I was telling Sunday school, Reader's Digest, November 1982, has an article on how life began. It is said this, according to NASA Ames Research Center in California, quote, it's what they said, these scientists, "The ingredients to form a human being can be found in clay." Quote, the article stated, quote, "The biblical scenario for the creation of life turns out not to be far off the mark. Everything that you need to this body to be built and created is found in the dirt. There's a body. He formed the body out of the dust of the ground. And then there's a spirit, that breath of life that God breathed, the Spirit of God breathed into His nostrils, the breath of life. That's the spirit you and I have." Take your Bible, turn to Job 33. Job chapter 33. Man's a trinity. And they're all separate. I got a body. I'm in this body right now. I have a spirit. That's the life that God gave me. And when God gave me that, I became a living soul. Look at Job chapter 33. Job chapter 33, and I could give you many verses. Job chapter 33, verse 4 says this. It said, "The Spirit of God hath made me, and the breath of the Almighty hath given me life." The Spirit of God hath made me, and the breath of the Almighty, that's that Spirit of God, hath given me life. And the thing in you and I that allows us to live and breathe this morning, that breath of life, come from the Spirit of God when He breathed in the nostrils of man. In fact, the word for spirit in the Bible is the same word for breath. It's the same word for wind. The Greek word in the Bible for spirit is the word pneuma. Pneuma is a word for wind and breath. If you have pneumatic tools, some of you guys know, they're tools that are driven by the wind. Pneumonia is a disease that you get with your lungs and you can't breathe. The word pneuma means breath. It's the same word for spirit. And that breath of God is that spirit part of man. There's the body formed of the dust of the ground. There's the spirit of God that gave us life. And then there's the soul of man. Genesis 2:7 says this. And the Lord God formed man of the dust of the ground and breathed in the nostrils a breath of life. And man became a living soul. You know what you are today? You are a living soul. Inside this body is the Spirit of God, the Spirit of life God put in me. And inside this body is my soul. Take your Bible, turn to Genesis chapter 46. Genesis chapter 46. And I can give you many verses. The word soul occurs 537 times in the King James Bible. In Genesis chapter 46, when God references people throughout the Scriptures, you know what He calls them? He calls them souls. Because you know what you are? Your existence is a soul. The most important thing you possess on all this earth, more important than anything else, is your soul. Look at Genesis 46, and I could give you many, but I'm just giving you a few things. I'm trying to show you. Man's a body. He's a spirit. And he's a soul. He's a trinity. They're three separate parts. Look at Genesis chapter 46, verse 15. It says this. Genesis 46, 15. And the sons of Leah, which he bare unto Jacob and Padan Aram, and his daughters Dinah, and all the souls, notice, all the souls of his son and daughters were 30 and 3. Look at verse 18. And these are the sons of Zilpah, whom Laban gave to Leah's daughter. These she bare unto Jacob, even 16 souls. Look at verse 22. These are the sons of Rachel. They were born to Jacob, and the souls were 14. Over and over and over. You read there, God references people, and He calls people souls, because you know what you are? You are a living soul today. Now this body's going to die. You're a body. You're inside this body. There's a description of man. And I want to give you some things about death, the description of death. The Bible tells us exactly what's going to happen when you take that last breath. And death's not an ending. It's a beginning. Number one, there's the body. This physical body one day, for some reason, God only knows, one day it'll stop functioning. It may be cancer. It may be a heart attack. It may be an accident. It may be an aneurysm. It may be next week. It may be 5 years. It may be 10 years. But there's going to come a day when this body will quit functioning for whatever reason. And when this body quits functioning, death occurs to you and I. And when this body no longer functions, take your Bible, turn to Genesis chapter 3. You know what happens to it? Genesis chapter 3. When this body quits function, it goes back to the dirt. Look at Genesis chapter 3, verse 19. Genesis 3:19. The Lord says this in Genesis 3:19. In the sweat of thy face shalt thou eat bread, till thou return to the ground, return in the ground. For out of it was thou taken, and dust thou art, and to dust thou shalt return. That's why we bury the bodies. You know what this body's going to do? It's going to go back into the dust where it came from. And then there's the spirit. You know where the spirit's going? When you die, when this body quits functioning for whatever reason, the spirit of life will leave this body. And that came from the Lord. Take your Bible. Turn over to James chapter 2. James chapter 2. Go to Psalms 104. This body will quit functioning. For whatever reason. Might be next week. Might be next year. I read a while back, and I think I gave you this in Sunday school when I read it. Psalms 104, James chapter 2. One fourth of all the people on the earth have cancer. 25% of the people on the earth have cancer in their bodies. And most of them have no idea what's going on. Death is coming. Death is coming. James chapter 2 says this. There's a spirit. We're talking about the spirit. James chapter 2 says this, verse 26. For as the body without the spirit is dead, so faith without works is dead. Look at Psalms 104, verse 29. What are you talking about? I'm talking about this body will quit functioning, the organs will quit functioning for whatever reason, and you'll draw that last breath, and when you do, the spirit will leave the body. Psalms 104, verse 29. Thou hidest thy face, their trouble thou taketh away their breath. They die and return to their death. Death is coming. There's a body. Throughout the body, throughout the Scriptures, you'll find God making the Holy Ghost as a Holy Spirit. 89 times in the Bible, the Holy Spirit's called the Holy Ghost. Several times it's called the Holy Spirit. Throughout the Bible, you'll find the word ghost used. You'll find the word spirit used interchangeable. Throughout the Bible, in fact, about 35 times you'll read where somebody died. When Jesus died on the cross, the Bible said, and He gave up the ghost. You say, what was that? That was the spirit that was in Him. All throughout Genesis said Abraham died and gave up the ghost. Genesis 25:17, it said Ishmael died and he gave up the ghost and died. You say, what is that ghost they're talking about? That's that spirit of God that's in you the day the body dies. That spirit is going to leave. And just like the dirt, the body goes back into the dust. It returns to the dust from thy heart. You know where the spirit goes? It goes back to the Lord. Let me show you. Take your Bible. Turn to Ecclesiastes chapter 12. Get Ecclesiastes chapter 12. Just like the body, when you die, it's going back where it came from. It's going back into the dirt. Dust thou art, and dust thou shalt return. And that spirit of you that God gave, it came from the Lord. God is a spirit. John 4:24. And God breathed into men the breath of life. Job 33 said, the breath of the Almighty, the spirit of the Almighty hath given me life. And that spirit is what God breathed in you when you were born this earth. And when you die, that spirit's going back where it came from. Look at Ecclesiastes chapter 12. Ecclesiastes chapter 12 verse 7 says this. Then shall the dust return, talking about death. Verse 6, or ever the silver cord be loose. Fanny Crosby got a song about that. Or the golden bowl be broken. Or the pitcher be broken at the fountain. Talking about death. Verse 7, then shall the dust return to the earth as it was. Talking about this body. And the spirit shall return unto God who gave it. When you die, that spirit will leave and it's going back to the Lord. Turn over to Ecclesiastes chapter 3. Ecclesiastes chapter 3. Three things going to happen when you die. Number one, this body will quit functioning. For whatever reason, the blood will quit flowing. It's going to quit functioning. It'll quit beating. The heart will quit beating. And you'll take the last breath. When you take that last breath, the Spirit of God will go back to Him. He's the one that put it in there. Look at Ecclesiastes chapter 3, verse 19. Watch it. Ecclesiastes 3:19. For that which befalleth the sons of men befalleth beasts. We're all going to die. Even one befalleth them, as the one dies, so dieth the other. Talking about man and beast. Yea, they have all one breath. So that a man hath no remembrance above a beast, for all his vanity. All go into one place. Talking about the body. All are of the dust and shall return to the dust again. Watch it. Who knoweth the spirit of man that goeth upward? That spirit of man, when you die, it's going back up to be with the Lord. The spirit of man goeth upward, but the spirit of the beast that goeth downward to the earth. And that spirit of man is going up, and the spirit of beast goes back down to the earth. And if that spirit returns back to the Lord, just like when this body dies, it goes back into the dirt. Same thing. And that spirit goes back to the Lord. John 4:24, God is a spirit. They that worship Him must worship Him in spirit and truth. Not only that, there's the soul. There's the body. The body's going back to the dust. That spirit is going back to the Lord. It goes back to God. I could give you many, many more verses about that. And then there's the soul. Three things are going to happen when you die. Number one, this body's going to quit functioning. And when it does, it's going back to the dust. Number two, you'll quit breathing. You'll take that last breath. Doctors have talked about that. Normally people have that last breath. And that last breath, when you take that last breath, for whatever reason, the spirit that God put in you that gives His body life, is going back and returning back to God. And in that soul, that's who you are, it's going into eternity. The most important thing you have on this earth, by far, the most valuable thing you have on this earth, I'm going to tell you what it is. It is your soul. Nothing is more valuable than that. Take your Bibles, turn to Mark chapter 8. Mark chapter 8. Mark chapter 8. Mark chapter 8. Here's the Lord talking. This is what Jesus Christ says. Mark chapter 8, verse 36. This might be some of the most important words you'll ever hear in your life right here. Jesus said in Mark 36, "What shall it profit a man if he gain the whole world?" I mean, if you could gain the whole world, what shall it profit a man if he gain the whole world and lose his own soul? The most valuable thing you got, your soul. That verse, next verse said, "What shall a man give in exchange for his soul?" The most important thing in your whole life that you own is this soul. And the day that you die, that last breath, this soul that's inside of you, my friend, is going to step out into eternity. The body goes in the ground. The spirit will go back to God. But that soul that's in you, that's who you are, my friend, that soul will step out into eternity. Luke 21:19 says, "In patience possess your own souls." There's a rich man in Luke chapter 12. The Bible talks about it. He has many goods. And he said, it brought forth many. He said, "What am I going to do?" He said, "I don't have enough barns to store all these goods and stuff." He said, "I'll tell you what I'm going to do. I'm going to tear down these barns and build bigger ones, and then I can store them." And the Lord said, Thou fool, knowest not that this night thy soul shall be required of thee. Listen, there's going to come a time, my friend, you'll take that last breath, and that soul that's inside of you is going to stand before God. And it's going to happen. It's going to happen. The Bible said that it's appointed that a man wants to die, but after this, the judgment. And that's where that judgment begins. We talk about here, we have a lot of tracts, and we go out and talk to people about the Lord. You know what we call it? Soul winning. Soul winning. The Bible said in Proverbs chapter 11, "He that winneth souls is wise." You say, why? Because the most valuable thing you possess, the thing that's going to eternity, that's the thing when you take the last breath at that very second, you're going to step off into eternity and you'll be in heaven with Jesus Christ, or you'll be in the torments of hell. That second, it'll happen. And the most valuable thing you possess, my friend, is this soul. Hebrews 10:38 says, "But we are not of them which draw back unto perdition, but of them which believe to the saving of the soul." James 1:21, "Wherefore lay apart all filthiness and superfluous of naughtiness, and receive the meekness, the engrafted word, which is able to save your soul." My friend, the most valuable thing you have is your eternal soul. This body, you know what we do too many times? We spend so much time depending and tailoring and caring for this body. And we spend so little time preparing for our soul. You know, this body is going to go in the ground. It's going to turn into dust, like we said. It's corrupt. It's falling apart. It's dying. But that soul that's in me, and the most important thing that I owe, one day it's going to leave this body, and at that second, it'll be before God. It's appointed unto man wants to die, but after this, the judgment. When you die, three things are going to happen, my friend. This body will take its last breath for whatever reason. And that body will go down in the ground, it'll turn to dust. And that Spirit of God, the Spirit of life that God put in you, Ecclesiastes tells us that Spirit returns back to the Lord. And that soul that's inside you, who you are, at that very second, my friend, you will be in heaven with Jesus Christ, or you'll be in hell. There's no purgatory. There's no reincarnation. There's no second chance. Take your Bible. Turn to Luke chapter 16. Luke chapter 16. Luke chapter 16, the Lord Jesus Christ gives this story of a rich man and Lazarus. This is not a parable like some of the cults have said. No parable in the Bible does Jesus Christ give names, number one. And number two, he said there was a certain man in Luke chapter 16. Luke chapter 16, verse 19 said there was a certain rich man, and he was clothed in purple and fine linen, and he lived sumptuously every day. And there was a certain beggar named Lazarus who was laid at his gate full of sores, desiring to be fed with the crumb which the rich man's table, so and so, verse 22. And it came to pass that the beggar died and was carried by angels in Abraham's bosom. Watch it. And the rich man died and was buried, watch it, and in hell he lifted up his eyes, being in torments, and seeth Abraham afar off and Lazarus in his bosom, and cried and said, Father Abraham, have mercy on me, and send Lazarus so he can touch the tip of his finger in water and chew my tongue, for I'm tormented in this flame. You know what? That rich man died. You know what went to hell that day? It wasn't his body. You know what went into hell that day? Was his soul. You know what? This soul has a tongue. His soul can see. This soul has pain. This soul can remember. He said, Father Abraham, send Lazarus. He said that he can just touch his finger and touch my tongue. One drop of water in hell was all he was looking for. I'm going to tell you, friend, listen to me this morning. Your job's not that important. Your health, not that important. Your wealth, not that important. I'm going to tell you, the most important thing you own on this earth is your soul. Nothing more important than that. And so many people have neglected the preparation of their soul. Because there's kind of come a day that you'll take that last breath, my friend. It's appointed unto man once to die. But after this, the judgment. Man, I've been preaching a lot of funerals lately, it seems like. Everybody's getting older. You know, I realized a few years ago, Miss Jana, you know what funerals are, Miss Martha? They're God's alarm clocks. They try to wake us up. Because you know what happens in life? We just get on the roller coaster of life and make a living and get to jobs and raise children and go through things. And we just fall asleep and the world mesmerizes and puts us to sleep. And God's alarm clock, when we go to those funerals, it kind of wakes us up and says, hey, hey, your day is coming. Because death just kind of gets pushed under the rug. But I'm going to tell you, friend, the day is coming soon. Soon. Sooner than you ever thought when you'll take that last breath. We had a man used to sit right here, Bob Smith. July the 24th this year, went home to be with the Lord. We had a lady sit right back there, 49 years old, Miss Michelle, January the 15th, a year ago, caught the flu, went home to be with the Lord. We had a man sitting right there behind where Miss Pat was. His name was David Ellsworth. About 2 years ago, went home to be with the Lord. I could keep going and going and going. We had one of my best friends, David Beard, sit right here last September, went home to be with the Lord. Next year, you know what? We'll go around this church and say, well, she sat over here. He was over here. Remember him sitting over there? It's going to be just like that. Every Sunday, somebody in this church will say, man, that was a fast week. You know what James says about that? He says, what is your life? He said, it's but a vapor. It appears for a little time, and it vanishes away. You know what it reminds me of? You know, when you walk outside, and it's cold outside, and you breathe like that, and that condensation, that vapor comes out of your mouth, it comes out about as quick as it comes out, it disappears. This life is so short. They asked Billy Graham. Billy Graham went home to be with the Lord. He is 99 years old, and he is 95 years old. They asked him in an interview, they said this. They said, "What is the biggest surprise of this life?" And he said, "The biggest surprise of this life is the briefity of this life at 95. They put on your tombstone, they'll put the date when you were born, and they'll put the end of the date, and they'll put a little hyphen right in the middle. You know what your life is? It's about as big as that hyphen. But that soul that's in you, my friend, is going into eternity. There's the description of death. There's the deceitfulness of death the Bible talks about. Death is coming very soon. The devil and the serpent told Eve, he said, "You shall not surely die." It amazes me how many people I talked on a deathbed that's dying with their last breath, Brother Chris. I've led some to the Lord. I talked to some that died the next day and tried to get them saved. And they're telling me, "This Martha, I had my uncle, he's in his 70s. He is dying here on the deathbed. I tried to get him saved and pleaded with him and pleaded with him. When I walked out the door, Brother Lonzo, he said to me, he said, 'Hey, don't worry about me. I'll live to be 100. He died that night. People got the idea they're going to live, they're going to live. Listen, death is coming and it's coming soon, my friend. David said, "Our days are but a shadow that are passing." And that soul that's in you will enter the door of death. Death doesn't end it all. Death is just a step. David said, "There's a step between me and death. And one day you'll take that step of death and you'll enter that door into eternity." And my friend, I'm going to tell you this morning, don't believe television preachers. Don't believe the only thing that'll get you through it will be the blood of Jesus Christ. God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him, what He did on the cross, whosoever believeth in Him should not perish but have everlasting life. But God commended His love toward us, and that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Revelation 1:5, "And Him that loved us and washed us from our sins in His own blood." That old song we sing, "What can wash away my sins? Nothing but the blood." We sung that song, we started off, page 227, "I'm saved by the blood of the crucified one." Church won't save you. You know what I'm afraid in this generation? We're churching people into hell. People are sitting in churches and sitting in churches and sitting in churches thinking that's going to save them, think it's okay. It's not okay. Church won't save you. Billy Sunday, the great evangelist, said, "Church won't save you any more than walking into a garage or turn you into a car. The only thing that'll save you is the blood of Jesus Christ." Amen. Brother Trotter, Jim Trotter, is 89 years old, a great preacher I've known, one of my first pastor. Been in the ministry for 50-something years. He preached Bob Smith's funeral. And he said in that funeral, he said, "Most people that I lead to the Lord nowadays are church members." David Wood, Faith Baptist Church, Pell City, preached a sermon a while back in Graysville. He said, "Nearly every church member that comes to my church is getting saved." People are sitting in churches and sitting in churches and sitting in churches going to hell. Jesus said over in Matthew chapter 7, verse 21, He said, "Not everyone that saith to me, 'Lord, Lord,' shall enter the kingdom of heaven." He said, "But he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven." He said, "Many," not a few, "many will come to me in that day. And they'll say, 'We not prophesied in that name? Have we not cast out devils in that name? Have we not done many good works in that name?'" And He said, "Then will I profess unto them, 'I never knew you. Depart from me, ye that work iniquity.'" You say, what are they? They're church people. They called Him Lord. But you know what they were doing? They were trying to work for their salvation. He said, "Depart from me, ye that work iniquity." He said, "The one that doeth the will of my Father." You say, "What's the will of my Father?" That's John 6:40. "This is the will of Him that hath sent me, that he believe on Him who He hath sent." Friend, there's coming a day, every one of us in here, who will be next? Who will be next? It's coming. 5 years from today, there'll be five or six people in this room, undoubtedly.
that'll be in heaven or in hell. 10 years from today, a great deal of the people. 20 years from today, 30 years, which are not very long, my friend, we'll all be in eternity. I'm going to ask you the most important question I'm getting anybody ever ask you now. You can fool me. But I ask you, is there come a time and a place in your life, and you go back to that time and think about it, when you knew you were a sinner? Jesus Christ died for sinners. Knew you was a sinner. Knew you cannot save yourself. The Bible says, for by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. Not of baptism, not of church membership, not tithing, not anything you can do, not of works. Titus 3:5, not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to His mercy, He saved us. You see, Jesus Christ loved you so much, friend. He said in John 15, greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. He died on an old rugged cross. Shed His blood for you. He was the Son of God. He was God manifest in the flesh, 1 Timothy 3:16 says. And let me tell you something. You don't want to die without Jesus Christ. I got bumpers. I got buttons back there. I have bumpers. And they'll have make buttons, witness and button. One of them says, don't be caught dead without Jesus. And death comes at such inopportune times. There's a bridge in San Francisco, and that bridge is called the Golden Gate Bridge. And that bridge was built in 1937. One of the largest bridges in the world. It's 240 feet high from the water. Since 1937, over 1,700 people have jumped off that bridge and committed suicide. They average one every 3 days right now. Every 3 days, somebody would climb on the Golden Gate Bridge and jump off that. They jump off 240 feet. It lasts 4 seconds, so they hit the ground. Do they hit the water? They hit the water at 80 miles per hour. It's like hitting cement, and it just destroys them. They put up barriers. They put up fences. They got warnings. And people, one every 3 days, Miss Martha, they'll climb over those barriers. They'll ignore the signs. They'll ignore the guardrails. And they'll jump off that bridge into the door of death, despite all the warnings. 1,700 people have jumped off that. Less than 25 have survived. September the 24th, 2000, a 19-year-old man named Kevin Hines. Life was depressing. He was discouraged. He was having difficulties. So he climbed over the barriers, climbed over the warnings, climbed over the guardrail. In September the 24th, year 2000, Kevin Hines jumped off the Golden Gate Bridge. And when he hit the bridge, hit the water, the way his body was, apparently it was twisted somewhat. He didn't hit it with a full impact, even though it tore his body all up. But he survived. And he said the minute when he got on that guardrail, and he climbed over the guardrail, and he pushed himself off, he said he started screaming, what have I done, God? What did I just do, God? God, I've made the worst mistake I've ever made, God. God, I don't want to die. And he hit that water. And he bobbed up. And in the water he was screaming, oh God, please give me another chance. I don't want to die, God. I'm not ready to die, God. I don't want to die. And God gave him another chance. He got saved. Became a Christian, naturally. He wrote a book about it. He goes around the country giving his testimony. You know, I thought about a person dying and going to hell. We put barriers in front of you. Preachers preach. Preachers warn you. Friends warn you. People give you tracts. They do everything they can to try to get you out of hell and try to warn you. And some people, they still climb over those barriers. They climb over those guardrails. And they still jump through the door of death right into hell. I thought of that young man when he let go of that guardrail and he
and started screaming, Brother Chris, oh God, I didn't mean it. I made a mistake, God. I don't want to die.
I thought of a soul dying, Miss Jenna, and going into hell, taking that last breath. Oh God, give me another chance. God, I'm not ready to die. Are you ready? Because I'm telling you, it is coming very, very soon. Every head bowed this morning. I asked my wife just to come play something this morning. I'm going to ask you the most important question, my friend. Has there come a time and place in your life when you knew you were a sinner? You knew what you were doing. Years ago, when I was a kid, 15 years old, I walked an aisle. And I didn't know what I was doing. I just walked an aisle of the church. Some friends of mine walked. I walked with them. For a while, I didn't get saved. I was an atheist. I didn't get saved 5 years later. But I told them I never was. I said, preacher, Tim, you get saved? Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. You say, why? I just want to pray. But I knew I didn't get saved. But I walked an aisle. July the 20th. July the 30th, 1975. London Grove one night at a friend's house, and I say, 20-year-old, I'm going to save this old soul. I'm going to ask you this morning the most important question anybody ever asked, my friend. I'm not talking about church. I'm not talking about baptism. I'm not talking about good works. I'm talking about if you come a time and your place and go back that day, it might have been a house, somebody, it may have been a church, but you knew you were a sinner. You knew Jesus Christ died on the cross for you. And you knew what you were doing. You just didn't shake a preacher's hand. You just didn't pray a prayer. A prayer won't save you. Prayer's how you reach God. You just won't do a prayer that doesn't save you. But you knew what you were doing. And that day, you accepted Jesus Christ. If you can say that this morning, I want you to raise your hand. Nobody looking. If you can say, preacher, I know that I'm saved. Raise your hand, raise it high. I know that I'm saved, preacher. Leave it up. You can put it down. Some of you may not have been up, raise your hand. You need to get this fixed. If you're not 100% sure, let's get it fixed. I'm not going to ask you to come forward this morning because you probably wouldn't come. But I'm asking this, for fixing to be dismissed. If you're not sure 100% about this, if there's a doubt, maybe just went through something and said, I'm not really sure because I got some doubt. Let's just make it sure today. And as you leave, just say, preacher, I want to talk to you in the back for a couple minutes. And we just go in the back, away from everybody. Nobody know. We just talk about it and change the Bible. We go through it and make sure we got this thing right. I'm going to tell you, brother, this is nothing to play with. And I'll tell you something else. You go to a lot of churches nowadays. I talk to a lot of people about the Lord. You can go to a lot of churches nowadays and you won't hear the gospel anymore. Amen. You won't hear what you just heard. You'll sleep through it, friend. You'll sleep right in the hell of a lot of you. There's a doubt that's being fixed today. Father, I pray your blessing now upon this message, God. And Lord, I just pray, God, the Holy Spirit.